The Fan-Controlled Football League is a new professional football league where teams no longer have a front office. Instead, fans control all the decisions, from drafting players to hiring coaches, calling plays. Your path to domination is just an app away. Guys, make sure you visit the website fcfl.io to learn more.
Yeah, eat, sleep, fantasy, you rocking with the best. NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs, better follow. The conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation, we doing what we like. Tune in every week, guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be. Joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat Sleep Fantasy.
What is going on, ESF faithful? Hey, welcome to episode 8 of Dynasty Night. I got John and Steve with me. I would ask John how he's doing, but he's always going to say he's glad to be here. So we'll start with Steve. What's going on, Steve?
What's going on, Austin? Hey, you want to know what? Just for John, I'm glad to be here too, man.
I'm glad to be here too, man. I'm glad
It's another Dynasty Night, brother. Yeah.
Oh, this is an action-packed episode. So I definitely want to talk about some fantasy news, but ESF started our own Dynasty League. I'm a little disappointed it's a 10-man, but tell you what, after seeing everything that's been going on, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Any guys want to interject real quick and then go back to fantasy news?
Yeah, so just when you're doing a Dynasty League, or just any fantasy league for that matter, you want to make sure that every team is not stacked. That just makes it not fun. So what we did, even though we only have 10 teams, which is bad, we loaded up on starting positions. So in our league, this is a custom format. You start 3 running backs, 3 wide receivers, and you have 3 flex spots. Not super flex, but just regular flex spots. So you have 9 wide receiver, running back starters that you can play, or tight end if you want to play it that way. So what we've done is we've created, just out of 10 teams, we still have that scarcity that makes, you know, good teams, mediocre teams, and bad teams that you need to kind of survive a dynasty league. And it's been fun. So many crazy trades.
Yeah, we'll get to those. Draft board just flipped. But no, it has been cool. And it is different than with 10 guys. And, you know, that's the commitment that we have with this group here. So it's going to be interesting. This format's going to be interesting. It's going to be an exciting year in years to come.
All right, so let's go back to fantasy news real quick, and then we'll jump into our Dynasty League again. So fantasy news, big nothing major that I can see, but Dez Bryant released by the Cowboys. I'll start off real quick. My hopes and dreams, he actually does show up and come out to the Patriots. Surprise, there's actually somebody I want. I think it'd be a good move for him, only because we don't know what's going on with Gronk, and we kind of need that big body. We lost Cooks, so I kind of see him going there, and I'm not going to lie, I kind of see him going to the 49ers, but he did make the comment that he's hoping to stay in that division and play the Cowboys twice a year. So any thoughts there on Dez?
No. You know, I mean, for me, you know, New England and San Francisco are places that always come up, but, you know, I look at a team like Arizona too, but if he wants to stay in the division, I think it's going to be hard to say exactly. He's not going to do much in Washington, in my opinion. There's not much room in Philadelphia there. And, you know, with Brandon Marshall being cut, if he goes to the Giants, if he goes to the Giants, I'm not really sure how the egos of him and OBJ are going to work out. So it's really kind of hard to say if he's going to stay in that division or not.
Fantasy relevance just is not there. He's lost a step, and he runs terrible routes. He second in the league and drops behind Mike Evans. Like, there's just so many problems there. Bad attitude. Do not want for NFL purposes or fantasy purposes. Stay away.
Yeah,
he hasn't been fantasy relevant since like 2014.
Yep. So he needs to go somewhere where he's not going to be the guy.
But can he handle that? Like,
exactly. It's hard because he obviously couldn't handle it, even though he was technically the guy in Dallas, but he was the guy at the wide receiver position. It was obvious that, you know, there was a toss up between Dak and Zeke, but with Zeke out last year for the amount of time that he was out, we saw what we saw out of Dak. So that's clearly Zeke's team. So who knows? Yeah, who knows what's going to happen with Dez?
So is there anyone on the Cowboys that you're gonna keep an eye on, or somebody's you're gonna gain a little bit of interest in?
If you're interested in volume, no, absolutely not. As if you go to full point PPR, you want to stay away. You got Allen Hurns there. That's the best option. But that is going to be a run-heavy offense with Jason Witten getting at least 90 targets. So it's not much. You want to watch out for the draft. I think Cortland Sutton would be a perfect fit there for dynasty value. But again, redraft, even if they do get Sutton in the first round, man, you're talking flex play at best just because it's not a pass-heavy offense. So running game, get Zeke, awesome. But outside of that, fantasy, you're going to want to kind of fade all those players.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I mean, Hurns is off top of the head. I know Dale's a fan of Thompson being there, but I see them attacking a wide receiver in the draft. I mean, they have a good young core with Zeke, with Dak, even the offensive line, right? So, and it's going to be Zeke year. I mean, I see this guy well north of 300 touches. So fantasy and dynasty owners, he's probably going to be your number one pick. But yeah, there's a lot of wide receivers in this draft class that I could see Dallas going after.
All right, hey, moving on. Dale DeMott's favorite running back, C.J. Anderson, was cut by Denver. Landing spots, I'm going to pass on this one. I'll let you all take the reins on this.
You don't want him in New England?
No. Well, we've already got like a seven-headed monster. Can you name all seven of the running backs the Patriots have right now?
All seven? Yeah. Well, I know White, Burkhead.
Yep.
Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, Jeremy Hill. Gillislee. Probably, yeah. Is Bolden still there?
See, so
Kevin
Falk, there we go.
He's still playing.
Didn't Curtis Martin come back?
There's no need for a running back in New England right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to say. I'll be really curious where he lands to see who C.J. Anderson really is, because a lot of his best years were those first couple, and I think that was with Peyton Manning. And you know, in that offensive scheme, that was his own running scheme, and that's been in Denver for a long time, and he excelled in that scheme. So if he goes somewhere that's outside of that, I'll be really curious to see what kind of running back we're going to see.
I think Miami's the best spot for him, but they just signed Frank Gore, but it was to a minimum deal. He's one of those guys that I could see somebody signing if they don't get their running back in the draft. If they miss out in the kind of early rounds, first through third rounds on a running back, why not sign him to a veteran minimum deal and see what happens? But he's nothing special.
I could see
like him go to the 49ers.
Ugh.
You want to know what? I could almost see Washington taking a stab at him.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Chris Thompson taking the third. He competes with Fat Rob and P. Ryan. That's not a bad signing.
And there's not much competition there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get back to the stuff you guys want to talk about. Hey, so let's go back to the Dynasty League. John, you got a couple stories for us about trades and how to trade, what not to trade, and who to trade with, and trade this and trade that and trade bait and trade fuck and trade
trading.
This. And
so, one, I am addicted to trades. Absolutely love trading. So we set up our Dynasty. We set our draft order. We're doing a startup, as we mentioned. And so we are able to trade draft picks. And I recommend whenever you set up your league, only trade picks 1 year in advance. After that, it gets tricky, teams leaving and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I want to start this off with a story of one of our beloved head honchos, Armando. He is such an awesome guy and a fun guy to talk to. He hosted last week, and I love Armando. And I asked him for permission to tell this wonderful story. We are trying to trade some picks. I don't want to get into the actual picks, but anyway, we're trying to set up a deal. I offer, he counters, I re-counter, and he says, fine. If you do this one thing, we got a deal. And I said, sure, deal accepted. I send it over, and then he says, well, hold on, let me look at it. There is no place in fantasy for this kind of BS, man. If you propose something and it is accepted, that doesn't mean you counter and try to go get more. This is a gentleman's game. And if you propose it, you don't back out whenever they agree or try to get more. I'll give it up to my buddy Steve. I think we've executed two or three trades that were literally one response. Like, hey, do you want this? Sure, deal, done. Like, don't try to screw people over. Now, obviously, you want to come out ahead in a trade, but don't try to rip off your buddies that you're in a league with and all that stuff. obviously, again, come out positive, which works for you. But if you send something out there, make it count for something.
Yeah, when you're sending trades out there, you can't just look at, okay, it's this round, it's this round, it's this round. You have to look at what number pick it is, right? So you got to look at the overall value of everything. So, you know, if you want to move up in the 20 spot and you have, you know, say like late 20s and you have an early to mid 30 and you want to sweeten it up and then take something a little bit later on their end to make that deal work for both sides, that's what you have to do. I mean, there's give and take on all sides of it and everybody's trying to achieve the same thing. So, you know, at least make, you know, don't try to tip the scales. Let the needle balance in the middle somewhat.
Yep. And figure out where your goals are. That's one thing that I think people, you don't make a trade into the second round just because you value second round picks. You got to line this up with your rankings or find an expert that does rankings that you kind of respect and you kind of appreciate. Because again, there's tiered rankings. And that's one thing that people have to do. Just because a player is number 18 and 19 on your draft board, that doesn't mean that they're just one spot apart. There could be a giant chasm, right? So for me, the draft falls after 18 big time, and it does not pick up until about 27, 28. So I traded away all the picks in that range, and I traded away to make sure I'm exploiting the different areas where I think the maximum value is. And so that's what you got to do. Do it with a plan in mind. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm gaining value here if you don't even know who you're going to be picking in that area. You got to play chess. It's not checkers, in the words of Denzel Washington.
Right, exactly.
Nice. See, I would love to move up into the second round a little bit more, a little higher from out of the, because I got the second pick of our league. So you figure I got the, what, 18 and 20?
Yep, because there's only 10. So, yeah, exactly.
Right. So, yeah, I would love to move up a little bit more. That was one of my goals. I just couldn't make it happen today. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you could even look at, you know, trying to swap with somebody and, you know, maybe exchange picks for next year to sweeten the pot a little bit. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. I was working with John a little bit.
I chickened out, not gonna lie. I'm your dynasty noob host tonight. So,
and I'll say this: never do a trade if you do not feel comfortable with it. Don't let somebody bully you. Don't let somebody just pressure you into making a trade. That doesn't count. If you don't feel good, just say sorry, not interested, and walk away. Figure it out. Don't limp into trades. You should understand this trade helps me because, and if you can't fill that out, then don't do it.
Although you're a...
Yeah, because there's only two people in the league right now that hasn't done a trade.
John's a shark though, man, but he's easy to work with though. I can tell you that much. It is just like you said, it's yes and no. We've worked out two deals, John. And we've talked about a couple others, but, you know, it's just, it's no bullshit, man.
I'm not trying to waste anybody's time. This is what I want. Cool. If not, peace. Like, and don't be mean about it. Like, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You've got to continue working with all these people in your league, even the ones you don't like. Wade. For a while.
Oh, that was legit.
Sorry, my throat. I don't know what it is. But anyway.
That was a good one.
You have to keep working with these people if this is a dynasty league for a long time. Love you, Wade.
So, let's drop like some things in a dynasty league that Wade kind of did. You know, like you said, come in, y'all get your shit straight or I'm out of this thing. You know, stuff like that where we're just sitting around looking at ourselves like, what is going on with this kid? So...
Yeah, Captain, friggin' this guy, you know, we're sitting there, we're talking about, you know, finances, how we're going to work out points, how we're going to work out this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, we're doing it as a democracy. Everybody has a vote, right? So, you know, we're getting it down to the point where, okay, everything's decided. Then you got fucking Wade coming out of left field. Well, what if we do this? What if we do that? And all of a sudden, everybody's voting on that shit. And, you know, and it's just like, man, come on, leave it alone.
That's the thing. Once something is voted on and approved, it's done, man. It is in the annals of history. Just move on. Like, you gotta let it go. But
it has been fun, though.
It's been a blast. And like, I understand I was giving him a hard time, but a little bit of stress, and that's kind of what it is. But understand, fight for the things that are important for you. That is cool, but don't be a whiny bitch. I think that is my dynasty nugget for today. Don't be a whiny bitch.
I think mine is don't get dicked down by the dynasty. So.
There you go. You got the triple D.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, hey, the only thing we have not voted on, which I'm surprised, is how we're going to run our waivers. So I know I keep bringing it up, and I feel like it keeps getting pushed off to the side.
And well, so wait, let's talk wait about while that you're listening on here. To this,
start getting your ideas together.
So there's two main ways to do it. Number one is very similar to the way the NFL does it, and fantasy has done it for the longest time, and that's waiver wire, where the worst teams or the worst team record get first option. Now, in Dynasty, you carry a little bit larger roster, so waiver wires aren't as prominent in Dynasty, but what is your goal? Do you want to try to make it even, where the poorer teams get better options to catch up to the better teams, or do you want to make it 100 blank slate every week and do kind of a waiver bid system, right? It's called FAB, Free Agent Acquisition Budget. And so you can do that, but the problem with that is it makes the rich richer, very capitalistic mindset, which I'm cool with. You know, I'm all right with that. So you got to figure out, do you want to help the better teams out, or do you want to help the kind of crappy teams out? And that's going to kind of play into that choice or a decision that you want to make.
I'm good with either way. I mean, FAB's my favorite, but, you know, like you said, because the problem in Dynasty, if you don't cater to certain circumstances, people can get disgruntled really fast, and then you have people backing out, and then you're stuck trying to find guys to take over teams, right? So I know some of the Dynasty leagues that I'm in, it's strictly FAB. There's guys that we've been together for a lot of years, and teams have gone, you know, up and down. So we really haven't had many issues there. But, you know, there's been the keeper leagues that I've been a part of, to where, you know, we did it with FAB and we had guys backing out. So we were just like, all right, you know, we get new guys in a league, voted in to go back to, you know, team at the bottom gets first priority. And we haven't had any problems since. So it just all depends on the group of people that you're working with when you're in these leagues.
Well, when it comes to waivers and stuff like that, and you know, I'm trying to get my head wrapped around the whole aspect of Dynasty, but I think John explained it best for my logic that I'll probably use is, who's going to help me for the next 3 years? Because say this year isn't my year, so at least I got a couple guys where I know I'm going to be able to keep and get me through these next couple months and get me into 2019. So I can't even believe that blows my mind too. Is just sitting there thinking of 2019 and 2020. For using one of these players to help me with my fantasy team.
That's the thing, dude, is thinking ahead like that. Because, I mean, realistically, where you're at right now, okay, let's just say, you know, you're sitting at a solid spot at number two, okay? So depending on which guy falls to you, right? And let's just say the rest of your draft just does not go as well as planned, right? And you get
which
to
I'm
a point
for.
With... But you get to a point within, you know, 2-3 years and you're like, damn, this really isn't going anywhere. And you're sitting there with a guy like Hopkins. You're sitting there with a guy like Zeke, who's still really young. I mean, you could flip them for some solid talent, right? And still be able to draft and you whoever else you have on your roster. So, you know, it's good to have those guys because, A, they can either carry your team, or, B, if you need to go and rebuild like now, they're the excellent poker chip to play, man.
Sounds good. Anything else we want to touch on our Dynasty League? Man,
the one thing I will say, just kind of that you brought up, that you're focusing on 3 years out. So somebody like LeSean McCoy, he's 29 going into his 30-year-old season, so on and so forth. Still productive, put up insane numbers, 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's probably not going to play for 3 years. However, he still carries a lot of value. So what happens is you put him in a tier, and whenever it's your turn to pick and you're picking within this tier, whether that's Melvin Gordon, so on and so forth, what you want to do is you want to break the tie of your tiers of guys that are going to put up this production with youth. So you're planning for 3 years out, but if you have guys that are in relatively the same area, I'm going to tip my cap to the guy that's a little bit younger. If they're 2 to 3 years younger, I'm going to put them over this guy that I see playing for 3 years or 2 years, so on and so forth. So get them in the general area. A phrase that I've heard before is, do your rankings and get people in a neighborhood. As you get closer to draft, then you're going to kind of move them closer into the house. And then whenever it's your turn to go, you're trying to figure out the room that they belong in. And so you group them, and as you more and look and you find these players that you're comfortable with or that you like or that you find out that you start loving them, like Kareem Hunt's my guy, love that guy, you'll bump them up your rankings to where they fit, but you don't want to go crazy. You don't want to take Kareem Hunt in the top three. You're wasting so much value. So you figure out where other people have them and you kind of you move them into that tier, if that makes sense.
I think where you're comfortable at having that player, like you get the warm fuzzy when you pull the player and you're like, okay, I got him here. It wasn't too bad, because that's pretty much how I did my rankings this past weekend, was to kind of look at where do I feel comfortable taking this individual, you know, and you know where the value is for like the next couple years, like you said. So
yep.
All right, I think since we're gone into our rankings, today on this episode, episode 8, we decided that we were going to look at our rankings, and we did like a small three-person round robin mock draft. So basically what's going to happen, we're looking at half-point PPR, what we're looking at, and pretty much we just went Steve, myself, and John, and we just keep going. We're going to go to like 24, and then if we feel like it, we might even pull up our rankings to go on to 36. Ooh, so
don't tip me.
Ooh, yeah. Man, good times there you ahead. Go.
I don't know. You guys don't know what quick means, so I know we're going to probably go over time.
That is
so.
What
you know,
she said.
Yes.
You're always commenting on it.
It's about quality, not quantity.
Oh, there's quality and quantity and a time. It's a math equation.
Yeah, just look at our draft boards. You'll see a lot of quality and quantity.
Factually correct.
It's called the efficiency expectation. All right, so starting us off with Steve. Steve, you had the first pick, so who did you steal?
Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, to me, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, for a startup dynasty league right now, he is the unquestioned number one. He's very young team, very young offensive line, a lot of good things ahead of him. He's going to get a ton of touches. So, I mean, based on volume and what he's already done so far in his career, and to me, it's a no-brainer.
Let me ask you this, Steve. If you are in a PPR league, would you still, a full point PPR, would you still take him number one? Because obviously he's not as involved as a lot of the other top running backs. Would you still take him number one?
I think so, man, because we talked about the receiving options there at Dallas, and they'll probably address it. But, you know, Dak likes to check down too, and they do get Zeke involved. So he's going to see a lot of touches. And, I mean, a lot of his points that he's going to get standard, you apply those to PPR and you get his receptions and potentially receiving touchdowns on top of that too. So this is the year where he's kind of like that perfect target for that spot.
Yeah. I mean, he's, like I said, he's my favorite coming out this year. He's going to come back, you know, got suspended last season, and you figure he'll end up coming out like Brady, and he'll be full of force, and he'd be someone to reckon with. He's my number one as well.
He's only like 22 or 23.
He's 22. He'll be 23 at the season start.
Yeah. And then you have to remember, too, you know, he's going to be involved in the passing game. I don't think there was a game last year. I think it was the season before where he had caught the pass from Dak, and he took it almost 90 yards. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I expect to see out of Zeke this season. So you know, and then, you know, we talked about Zeke going number one. Most of the analysts right now, they have OBJ out there as number one, but you know, I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole in the first five picks. So
your mistake.
All right, so I had the second pick, and I'm one of those individuals that will always go after running backs instead of wide receivers. I know on my rankings I have Hopkins as number two, but I'm taking Todd Gurley here only because I am one of those individuals that has to have a running back like in the first round. So
and for our league, you're picking number two, and this is huge. You can do your rankings and you can say, okay, man, Hopkins is probably a little bit better here. But then once you're in the position of, okay, I'm picking this spot, I'm either going to have this guy on my team or I'm not, it's fine to reach within tiers, right? And yeah, I think that this is your team that you're going to root for. You're buying these jerseys. You're watching the games. You're celebrating these guys. Get the guys you love. And Gurley is, man, he's so fun to root for.
Yep, Gurley is, especially after last season. You know, it's hard to overlook him. And to see what the Rams are doing this season, it's a good spot. I mean, Gurley could easily go number one in a lot of leagues this season,
too.
Sure.
For sure. I mean, he's he's just an absolute dynamic, man. You know, and that offense, I think they're going to go a little bit, they'll let Goff loose a little bit more, but Gurley's still going to be involved. I mean, he finally got used to the best of his abilities last year, and he just tore it up. So I don't see why they wouldn't continue to do so.
So, John, you got the number three pick, and you took?
I took OBJ, man. He's my number one player on my board. I appreciate you calling me an expert earlier whenever you said most people have him at number one. Thank you, Austin. But I love this guy. One, he's hilarious, but in his first 3 years, all three seasons, over 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns each, he leads the NFL historically in yards receiving per game. He is number one all time over everyone, including Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. I know it's only been 3 years, but the dude is special. And whenever you look at his age, on top of that, he's going to be 25 years old at season start. He's very, very young. Eli has been terrible, and he's still been successful. So I love this kid. I understand he's controversial and coming off an injury, but 25-year-old receiver that's put up that production, man, I'll take it every day.
Yeah, there's just too many red flags for me when it comes to OBJ. You know, that injury last season was pretty gruesome. Just like you said, the quarterback play is pretty bad. Their offensive line is deteriorated. I just could not see him in the – I think I have him at what? I have him at seven, so I'm probably the least.
Yeah, I would Odell love out of this. Three. And the thing about him is, and Austin and I, we've got an awesome bet.
Oh yeah.
That basically he will, is it next 3 years? Is that right?
Next 3 years, he has to miss
five games half, in a season.
Yep, in a row.
In a row. And we're betting a nice bottle of whiskey or his beverage of choice, whiskey, scotch, whatever. Right. So yeah, I believe in him. I'm betting on youth, I'm betting on talent, and I'm betting on production he's put out there. So you've got to find guys you're comfortable with. Love this pick.
And I'm betting that he breaks his ankle again. So
that hurts. Sorry, OBJ. You're gonna be okay, bro.
They come back stronger, man.
They do? Oh no. I can name you 12 guys that didn't pan out after a major foot or knee injury. So that is not a true analysis there.
They
so.
Can. I mean, different type of caliber player, but that's what they're saying right now with Chris Carson. They're saying it's better that he broke his leg where he did, because now that's just going to grow back stronger.
Well, I was wrong about Gurley last year, so.
Yeah.
But he didn't have an injury, but it just, that was the gameplay, so I got you.
Jeff Fisher is an injury. Can we make that like a official?
Oh, thanks. I like that.
That should be a shirt. Jeff Fisher is worse than an ACL tear. Let's just be really honest.
That should be an ESF shirt. I like it. All right, so Steve was up next, and Steve, you took.
Now, this was a tough one, but I took David Johnson because I had a really hard time looking at this and saying, wow, Ezekiel Elliott and David Johnson, right? Now, David Johnson, by the end of the year, is going to be 27 years old, right? Mind you, coming into the NFL, he did not have a lot of miles on him. So it's really hard to take his age into consideration right now. However, as this offense and this team rebuilds over the next couple of years, DJ is going to see a lot of volume. So he's going to get a lot of miles. And he's probably going to take a lot of beating. So he's a guy that I look at, you know, we're looking at that three-year window, right? He's a guy that gave me 3, maybe 4 years. You know, while I look for something else in the meantime, and I know that I'm going to get solid production in between him and Ezekiel Elliott, my backfield's set.
And that's people forget how great he was last year. Obviously, the injury this year, but if he put up his 2016 numbers this year, he would have been running back one, and it wouldn't have even been close. Over 2,000 yep. total yards, 20 touchdowns, 80 receptions. Holy freaking cow. And that team sucks. It's worse yep. than it was before. Who else is the ball going to go to? I understand exactly. You got Larry Fitzgerald, but good Lord, he's older than I am. So, I mean, I love that pick.
And we don't know if Sam Bradford is even going to be able to stay in the field. So
they're going to prop him
up. Might well use, yeah, you might
Lamar
as well use
Jackson's
their
going there. Wait, did I just say that?
I love
really
that
think
pick.
Lamar?
I would love that pick.
I think he's going to the Patriots. So.
No, Mason Rudolph, man, watch. Mason Rudolph.
Okay. All right. So I had the fifth pick, and I took Lev Bell. It was I just could not pass up. He averages 127 yards a game throughout his history of playing in the NFL. So to me, that was a no-brainer. And like, you know, you talked about the backfield, having Lev Bell and Gurley as your starting running backs out of three. You just can't go wrong.
Man, Lev Bell's a beast, and he does it without scoring touchdowns. That's a crazy thing. Like, he just does it in yards and receptions. He does not get in the end zone very often. Yeah, he's a beast, man. Good pick.
Thanks. So you're up next, John.
Six, I'm staying with the theme, man. Guys who fall to me, I have no idea how DeAndre Hopkins is still there. You guys go running back. You guys zig, I'm going to zag. DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Love this kid. And you add in what Deshaun Watson has done whenever he was healthy. This guy is going to be special for a long time. He's going to be 26 at the start of the season. He's put up a 1,300-yard season, 1,500-yard season, and a 1,200-yard season. Yep, I love this guy. I'd love to have him. I wouldn't have a problem taking him number one overall. And he's kind of the last guy in this tier, this top tier of six guys that I love that we've gone through. Love this kid, man.
That is a pretty good tier. I'll give you that. So better start writing that one down. All right, so Steve, I'm seeing a trend. You're like me. You went running back heavy again. Who was your seventh pick?
Yeah, at this point, it was hard to get pass up on Kareem Hunt. I mean, you know, talking earlier, you know, you're not going to take him in the top three, but he's definitely a top 10. And he could even potentially be a top five guy. It's really hard to say. But I expect the offense to lean on him a lot more. You know, it's hard to say how much Andy Reid's going to let Mahomes go. So, and, you know, he let Hunt loose last year, pulled the reins back on him, and then got him more involved in the offense towards the end of the year last year, and he produced the same way that he did in the beginning. So I'm expecting 16 games with that kind of volume this year. So he's definitely a guy that, you know, you're starting up in a dynasty or keeper or whatever, and you're in the back portion of that first round, dude, that guy's going to be a solid talent for you.
All right, nice. So I'm just going to put this out there now just to kind of give a caveat. When we did our script, we kind of didn't go in order, like who's going to do what. So John took my pick at 9, but after that, I really like Kamara this season. As you noticed, I took the north-south running backs for my first two picks, and then I went with Kamara on the next one because I wanted that pass-catching back as my third one for my team. So I went with Kamara. He's one of those guys I'm going to be very big on this season. So
Kamara's a beast, man. The only problem I have with Kamara is just the volume. Less than 120 rushes for a running back is rough. But again, you're talking about a guy that gets over 70 plus receptions, which is nice. Is that going to continue? What's that going to look like when Drew Brees is gone? You got to play that role. But the talent is there. Fun kid. Obviously, what he did last year was unreal. Not so sure he could sustain it, but guaranteed top two running back. I just wish he got more touches.
It's going to be interesting. I got it because, you know, they have Thomas, and then they just signed Cam Meredith, and they got Ben Watson, and you figure they still got Willie Snead. I'm missing somebody else in there. So you're right. There are a lot of individuals on that team. But
Ted Ginn's still there,
like,
right?
Once he, who?
Ted Ginn.
Yep, Ginn is still there. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you figure, but when Kamara came out last season, I mean, he came out, and barring an injury, I definitely see him having a repeat season. So I took Kamara there. Moving on, John.
You guys y'all are like so biased against receivers, and that's okay with me. That's cool. I'll load up. I'm taking Antonio Brown, who is an absolute beast, the number one wide receiver 4 years in a row. He is, I understand he's old. He's going to be 30 when the season starts, but his game is not speed, has never been speed, has never been fast. He just runs perfect routes and catches everything. So the fact that you can get the number one wide receiver, and that might only be another year or two that he's the number one, but he's not a guy that beats people by just pure speed or talent or whatever. It's all technique. That's what makes him special. So I see no problem with this guy playing until he's 33, 34. He's trying to catch the records. That's what he's about. And if you look at his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons, the least yards he's had in the last five is 1,284 yards. And he has great games when Big Ben's gone. So even if he retires, don't care. I want me some Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's AB, man. It's AB is AB. He's been that way pretty much from day one. So, yeah, that's a solid pick there, especially at 9.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely falling that far. All right, so moving on to 10, I see, Steve, you took your first wide receiver.
I did, Keenan Allen.
Welcome to the club,
brother. Recently a wide receiver. And but no, I mean, having him there at 10, you know, with the running backs I already talked about there, I mean, you know, he's just pure volume. That guy sees a ton of targets. Phillip Rivers absolutely loves him. And the more that the Rivers to Gates chemistry has separated over the last few years, you know, that attention has gone towards Keenan Allen. And it was exciting to see him play a full season last year. He's had some freakish injuries in the first couple of years of his career. But, man, the guy is just – he's a stud. He's going to see a ton of targets. So he's definitely in the top 5 wide receivers in PPR formats as far as I'm concerned.
And then for my 11th, I stuck with running backs again. This time I reached past Mike Evans, Thomas, and Julio. I actually went with Barkley. I took a running back because, like I said, I'm stuck on this. I got to start thinking 3 years out. And even where Barkley lands, I think has the potential to keep me as one of the top teams in this league, you know, for the next 3 years easily with his ability to run. So,
and his ADP of where he's going in most fantasy leagues right now or dynasty leagues is number 8 overall. So technically you're getting a deal.
Yeah. And then after that, we got John, you took another wide receiver, surprise.
Man, and this is a common kind of thing that I see in Dynasty. Wide receivers have longer shelf life in the NFL. And so, obviously, we've got to get running backs. But with the depth that has just continued to fall in this, you know, mock draft or whatever you want to call it with what's going on, I'm going to take these guys that are falling where the value is. And if you look at what Michael Thomas has done, he has broken the NFL record for most receptions, most yards, everything in his first 2 years in the NFL.
So do you see him taking a shot at what Landry just set last year?
I don't think so. I he's not going to pass Landry, but the difference between Michael Thomas and Landry is yards per reception.
Michael Thomas is a stud.
Oh, yeah, they're 100% different human beings. Yeah. Michael Thomas is huge. First off, 6'3", 212. And that's Jarvis Landry is a running back out of the backfield. He's basically Chris Thompson with a little bit more bulk. I love Jarvis Landry. I'm not trying to knock him, but Michael Thomas gets the ball down the field. And so you're talking about a guy that gets close to the same amount of receptions, but also scores touchdowns and also gets yards. So this, and that offense is amazing. And I know Drew Brees might have a year or two left. I don't think Sean Payton's going anywhere. And I think they're getting a quarterback in this year's draft. So I absolutely love this kid. He's still very, very young. He's 25. Golly, man. You got to take value and consistency, which this guy embodies completely. So I am 100% fine with Michael Thomas at the 12th pick.
Let me ask you one question then. So you have no worries about Ted Ginn, Brandon Coleman, Willie Snead, and Cam Meredith?
Nope.
Taking any of those touches?
Nope.
That's a lot of depth at wide receiver.
But that was there before. And now you could say, okay, cool. Cameron Meredith wasn't there. He's injured all the time. He's going to be playing they're not taking Michael Thomas out of any snaps for those people. Targets for the last 2 years. As a rookie, 121. Last year, 149 targets. No problem. I have no problem with that guy. I don't think he's going to lead the NFL in receiving yards or receptions, but you give me a guy with 104 receptions. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Love that, man.
The only other guy on that team that developed any sort of red zone chemistry with Drew Brees was Kamara. So Michael Thomas, he's the guy when you're 20 yards and in that, you know, if they're taking a shot that they're going to run the post pattern, whatever the case may be, or they're just going to let him run 10-yard slant and try and muscle it in from there, he's the guy. He's the target. Great route runner, great hands, physical guy. I don't see much going away from him.
All right, Steve, keep it going. Who was your number 13th?
Well, I really wanted Thomas here, but John's a dirty bastard and took him.
That is very true.
No, I went Mike Evans. He's still very young. He works. I mean, yeah, he had drops last year. He had a down year, but I'm expecting a bounce back year from him. I'm expecting a bounce back year from Winston. So, you know, having him sitting here at 13, and I already have Keenan Allen and the three running backs we talked about earlier. For as long as he is, and talking about the shelf life of wide receivers, it was really hard to pass up on him at this point.
Sorry, they're talking about the New England Patriots on NFL's, about the new schedule. Wow, they picked him to win.
This is what a fan looks like, ladies and gentlemen. Holy cow. Yes. Now,
sorry,
I would argue that a real fan
that just gives me an opportunity to look at more trade offers.
There you go. A real fan would have found the leaked schedule hours ago.
I had it. I've looked at it. We were actually talking about it. Remember, we were talking about it before Steve popped on. So,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, I'm already all over that stuff. So, all right, and I decided to take my first wide receiver, and I took a page out of John's book. I'm not happy with this one. Julio Jones, he's more of a boom. He's extremely boom or bust, and I will cringe every single week that he's in my lineup. So, but yeah, I took Julio. He still has potential. He's still young. I'm just concerned about the rapport he has with his quarterback. So, like I said, I cringed on this one, but I like I said, I could not let him fall any farther. So,
man, that's the thing. You look at the talent and the overall numbers that he puts up every year, Julio, it's amazing. But one of the worst offensive coordinators in the NFL, very Jeff Fisher-esque and Steve Sarkisian. How do you just not target this guy for several games? Week 15 last year when everybody needed him, he comes out and gets 3 receptions for 50 yards. What the hell? Like... I'm with you. The talent is there. The numbers at the end of the year are going to be amazing, but he's going to hurt you. He's going to hurt you bad every time.
All right, John, keep it going.
All right.
You took your first running back finally.
Yeah, again, you guys, this is what I believe in. You got to do what they are not. These other two, actually really good expert gentlemen, finally go receiver. I'm going to go running back. So I'm going with Fournette. Here at the 15th pick, I'm just looking for value. And that's kind of where I'm at with this kid. He's very, very young. You look at what Jacksonville is trying to do. He's a 23-year-old. They bring in one of the best guards in free agency and Norvell. And so why not? He rushed for 1,000 yards last year, 9 touchdowns, and he missed 3 games. If this guy's healthy, I understand he's not going to get all the catches, but if he is healthy, you're talking about an MVP-type running back just because of team scheme and what he offers. Man, this is a league winner. I love getting Fournette here. 15 spot, super pumped.
Yeah, I have him 16th on my ranking, so he fell exactly pretty much where he was supposed to fall in my mind.
Right.
So, all right, we'll keep it going. And Steve?
So I went AJ Green here. You know, falling to 16, having the players I already have, A.J. Green's still going to get a lot of volume. He's still going to see a shit ton of targets, man. You know, there is nobody there. I mean, great, you have Eifert out there when he can play. Tyler Boyd, okay, great. They have nobody there. And Joe Mixon's going to be a little bit more involved now with Jeremy Hill out of the way. Geo will be Geo. But, I mean, that offense, that passing game is still going to go through A.J. So having him here at number 16 – to put along with Evans and Keenan Allen, I'm more than happy to do that.
This should be the last season for the Red Rocket anyway, so. Should be. All right, and let's see. So I decided to take Dalvin Cook. I'm going back on my words a little bit. His injury kind of scares me a little bit, but being able to pull him out of my rankings at 18 and get him here at 17, I felt it was necessary to start building some running back depth. So that's why I jumped on. I mean, Dalvin Cook, you figure in three games, if he could have played, he was on par to be probably the top running back in the league. Him and Kamara probably would have gone back and forth for the whole season.
Yeah, he was leading the NFL in rushing, I think, after week three. He was killing
three. And then he got hurt in Detroit, so.
Way to go, Detroit.
Yeah, way to go, Detroit. Hey, all right, and
I'm not from here, so.
Oh, okay. You're not from there? You're just sitting there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting here, but I'm not from there. I'm not a fan of that team.
Don't worry, I'll be there in a couple weeks. So.
They hurt David Johnson. It hurt my feelings.
Ooh. Man, what the hell, Detroit? You got to ruin everything? I understand your infrastructure's not going well, but this is my fantasy season. Come on, man.
Right?
All right, let's see. And John, you're up at number 18.
Number 18, I'm taking Davante Adams. Oh, man, this kid is awesome. Touchdowns galore. If you like touchdowns, this is your guy. Back-to-back seasons with over double-digit touchdowns, and that's without Aaron Rodgers last year. The fact that he was able to produce with that atrocity that they put out there at quarterback, I am 100% all in for this kid. One, he's super young. He's only 25 years old. The Packers organization is behind him. They just signed him to a huge extension. They let go of Jordy Nelson. You're talking about the number one wide receiver with Aaron Rodgers. What more could you ask for? And he's a guy that has produced points consistently without getting a lot of catches. His season high is 75 receptions, but it doesn't matter. The touchdowns are there. The targets are there. Aaron Rodgers there. Super happy for this kid. I would love to have him on my team.
And Jimmy Graham's there.
Eh. They got to throw it to somebody else besides him.
Yeah. Probably the converted wide receiver to running back. So,
talk your trash. We will see.
We will see. We will see. That's my style, though. I got to talk trash.
I do like it. I do like it.
So, sticking in the NFC North, Steve, your next pick.
So, sitting here at 19, and it's only a reach by a couple picks, but I really like Stephon Diggs. I really think that he's going to do very, very well with Kirk Cousins. And I think Adam Thielen will as well. But Diggs is a big playmaker. He's another big physical. Well, he's not huge, but he's a big physical guy with great hands, great route runner, right? And the fact that they have what they have on the offensive side of the ball, and they just plug Kirk Cousins into that, it is really hard not to get excited about Diggs right here. I really actually wanted to wait till my next pick, but I had a feeling one of you two clowns was going to take him, so I had to take him here at 19 to pair him up. I mean, that's another young wide receiver. Diggs is only 24 years old, so you know he's got a bright future ahead of him. He's got a lot of touchdowns ahead of him.
See, I don't think I would touch Diggs only because I have Allen Robinson and Amari Cooper ahead of him. So, and speaking of Allen Robinson, that's who I decided to take. I think it's going to be good things there in Chicago. I think him and Trubisky are going to have a heyday there in the NFC North, and they're going to surprise a lot of people. So I decided to go with Allen Robinson at the number 20th spot.
Yeah, I like that pick. Young, 24. Young quarterback, brand new offense. They were very Jeff Fisher-esque last year. Nagy's going to do some fun things. I'm excited about that offense and see what they're going to do.
All right, John, what's your number 21 pick?
Man, this is probably my least favorite pick so far. Melvin Gordon, I'm taking him number 21. But again, he finishes the number 5 running back last year. He's put up back-to-back 1,400-yard total yard seasons. Super young. The offense is returning 2 starters from injury that they lost last year on the offensive line. He's not the best player. He's not the most talented player, but he gets the job done. And the volume is there. And opportunity is key in fantasy, so I'd be more than happy to have him here. I'm not in love with it, but I'll take it. Melvin Gordon, number 21.
Oh, okay, there you go. I was like, who are we talking about?
Sorry, my bad.
I let it with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I got him up there too as well. So he's about my number 20th, so he's in a good spot.
And this signifies my giant tier break right before him. So, like, he's the guy that I'll settle on. But once I get out of this 20 spot, man, there's a huge drop.
I don't see it. I'm looking at from my 20 on, and I know this will be for another time, but I actually see a lot of depth there. And like I said, I know our rankings are slightly different, but we got to let Steve in and let him decide who's going to take a number 22.
So 22, I really like Christian McCaffrey right here, mainly in PPR formats. I mean, this is a guy that you're going to get Kamara value out of, you know, 10 plus picks later. And with what they have on offense right now, he's going to come in and play a bigger factor. He's the kind of guy, and this is what I love, and I'll be really surprised if Carolina doesn't implement or draft some sort of big thumper. McCaffrey is a guy that can be on the field in different ways for all three downs. And he's a guy that, honestly, I expect him to see right around 80 targets this year. I expect a lot of volume out of him. Not quite sure how he's going to do in the run game. There's a lot of question marks there, but he can be used in so many ways. And, you know, again, in PPR values with that offense and what they're trying to do, he's a solid pick there at 22.
All right. And then for my 23rd pick, I also went wide receiver, only because I felt my running back depth is pretty strong right now. So I decided to go with Amari Cooper with Oakland. I think he's going to be the individual on the field that they go to. I know they still got Marshawn Lynch and they pulled in Doug Martin, but they lost Crabtree. And so someone has to catch the ball out of that wide receiver core. And I definitely think unless something crazy happens, Amari Cooper is the man there. So took Amari Cooper at 23.
Yeah, not a bad pick. Very young. He's had some decent production. Never put up a top tier season, but that ball's got to go somewhere. You're right.
And right now, the last pick, John, you got the last pick. What'd you go with?
Man, I'm staying with a young running back, 23 years old, Jordan Howard, Chicago. Might not be the flashiest pick, and probably a lot of people have him later. But again, back-to-back 1,200-yard total seasons, gets into the end zone, had 9 touchdowns last year, and you've got a brand-new offensive scheme coming in that's already committed to saying he's going to be the feature back. Why not? This is a huge, high floor, kind of safe pick at this range. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of this tier, but if you get me a guy that's going to be young and going to put up back-to-back running back one numbers, why not? Let's take a chance on him, see what he can do. So I got Jordan Howard going at the end of our kind of whatever you want to call this, not so expert mock draft. I'm taking Jordan Howard.
So I'm going to read off a couple names because this is the only pick out of the whole thing that makes me go, what the fuck? So, I mean, you got Devontae Freeman, you got Cooks, you got T.Y., Mixon, Jeffrey, Josh Gordon, Landry, Henry, Geis, Ertz, Ingram, and then I look at Jordan Howard there. So, I mean, none of those guys.
So I like a lot of those guys. And then again, this is kind of my philosophy behind those rankings. You mentioned Freeman, for example. Love Freeman, super safe, but he's in a timeshare situation. He's not going to get the volume. So whenever I get to here, I'm looking at talent and I'm looking at opportunity. Who has the chance to get more touches? Jordan Howard. Who's younger? Jordan Howard. Who has the different offensive scheme that might benefit him? That's a question mark. We'll see what Nagy can do. But if he puts in that Philadelphia/Kansas City Chiefs offense, holy cow, there's a lot there. Tight ends? I'm not touching tight ends this early. I just don't believe in them. Now, if you do go tight end, I want one of the studs that you mentioned, but not when there are possibility of three down feature backs on the board.
Yeah, because Mixon, you just described Mixon in my mind when you were talking about Howard. So
yeah, I hate that offense, man. I hate that offense.
Yeah, everyone usually does. It's definitely a love hate. They are definitely, I think, the Cleveland Browns of 2018. So
yeah,
I'll have no problem taking Joe Mixon.
You would take Joe Mixon over Jordan Howard?
I didn't say that, but I said I have no problem taking Joe Mixon.
I hear he's.
I think I would take Joe Mixon over.
But in all honesty, though, I do have him ranked out higher.
Ooh. I don't know, man.
Who, Joe Mixon or Howard?
Giovanni Bernard's going to take a lot away from him.
I don't know. It's very hard to say. Mixon's good, man. We saw some things out of him towards the end of the year last year, and it's really hard to say. You know, and
it would be hard for me to pass up Freeman too. So
there was a lot of question marks about Jordan Howard. It wasn't until this week that Nagy came out and said, "Hey, he's our featured back." Right? There was all that talk of trying to trade him to Miami. So, you know, Jordan Howard, he's good, young, special talent. But it's very hard to say how he's going to fit that scheme and how much Cohen's going to take. You know, you're talking about Gio in regards to Mixon. What's Cohen going to do to Howard, right? So it's hard to say. It'll be interesting to see.
Except for Mixon, you did say Gio, but I don't see Gio having a big thing. It seems like these next couple backs in our rankings are all on a timeshare. So,
And that's the thing. So once we get into this, it's question mark city. There are no sure bets. You've got to take somebody that you feel good about. So you have a hunch. Me, I'm Jordan Howard. I love the new offensive scheme. I'm going to say, all right, I kind of can buy into this. And there's going to be debate. So if you're here, man, I'm trading out of this. There's a reason why I have no third round picks in our dynasty league. I got the hell out of there because I don't want to touch it. I want to either jump up or get one of the guys that fall to me in the fourth or fifth round. So you got to figure that out and get out of the places you don't like.
I'm comfortable pretty much with every single one of these in the top 24. And that's why I cannot see losing one of the top 24 picks. So, I mean, I would rather try and get, you know, like you guys are doing, try and get two or three extra of these top 24, you know, if I can. But it seems like you guys already pulled the teeth out of everyone. So I think I'll just sit back and wait, see what happens. Maybe someone will want to trade.
There's still more teeth to be pulled, believe you me.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see.
Looking at the board right now, studying my next move. This is a game of chess. Nice. Look at all these pretty colors in here. Right? Look at this insane amount of trades, man. Jesus, Lord.
All right, fellas. So we're sitting around the 57-minute mark. Hey, real quick, if you enjoy like this episode and you enjoy how we talk and break down these different players, man, you got to come check us out in the what I like to call the ESF Secret Squirrel Group. You know, we're on Facebook. Right now, it's been pretty quiet. No one's asked a lot of questions. You know, I got it. It's off season. We just got the schedule today. That's definitely gonna, you know, everyone's gonna break that down. But you definitely got to come over and start thinking about joining us and start asking these questions so you can get ready for your season. Because before you know it, you're gonna blink and it's gonna be the end of June. You're gonna be like, oh, I gotta get ready for draft season. But we're getting all this dynasty information out now. And this is going to lead right into redraft. You know, there's not going to be a skip at anything like that. So, hey, start thinking about just coming over and starting getting your questions and join us. Just hang out. So, all right. And I guess on that note, hey, we'll shut this down. Steve, you got any final notes, thoughts?
Not too much, man. You know, just I love what we're doing. I love this last week of putting this dynasty league together, but you know, more importantly, you know, there's a lot of things going on with ESF as we talked about in just about every single episode, man. And the dynasty portion right now is awesome. You know, don't forget, you know, join the Facebook group. You know, you're gonna get priority on everything there. Just a lot of good times, man. A lot of good times ahead. And you know, you can follow all of us on Twitter. You know, as probably Austin already mentioned, man. You know, we're just follow on all three platforms, man, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find myself on Twitter. That's where I do a lot of my trafficking, at SSPAC21, SSPAC21. I'm also putting out a bunch of content on the ESF Instagram page. So you guys
follow him on Instagram. It's unreal what Steven's putting on there. You got to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys ever want to go on the ESF page and ask questions, I do field them all the time. So go out there. Don't forget to DM or, you know, comment on a post. I'm always interacting. I'm always answering questions. Right now on there, actually, I'm doing a buy low, sell high series that I'm going to turn into a highlight that gets everybody involved, putting in their opion. And then, you know, once I'm done doing all that, I'll put it together as a highlight. And you guys can reflect on that come draft season. So make sure you're staying in touch with all that stuff. And soon enough, ESF's going to be doing their 200 episodes, so be ready for that.
Good stuff. So what you got for us, John? Drops a little bit for us, and we'll head on out the door.
Yeah, man. Check us out on Twitter. I am flying out to the draft next week. It is next week, people. So stay live on Twitter. I'll be having lots of updates and all kinds of crazy stuff. JL underscore Chapman, JL underscore CHAPMAN. Come check us out, and we're going to keep putting so much stuff out there. ESF, it's awesome, the team they put together. So stay tuned, guys.
Yeah, John, you need to definitely do a couple periscopes from the draft location. So that means we probably won't record next week. We'll probably record the week after, especially with the draft.
Oh, and then also we have we're going to be re-releasing our episodes 3 through 7 leading up to the draft. So that's covering for anybody Dynasty out there. That's covered like Dynasty 101. You know, all the rookie quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, the tight ends that we've talked about. So those episodes are going to be coming out. So if you missed anything on any of that and you're curious on where these players are going to go, you want to get our insight on that, you know, before the draft. So keep an eye out for those as well.
And if you want to follow this stingy Dynasty noob who's getting smarter every day, you follow me at Austin37. Like I said, I my rankings are out there. I feel pretty confident about them. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm pretty stoked about this Dynasty League, and we'll see what happens. So on behalf of Steve, John, and myself, y'all have a good evening and be easy. Fantasy, it's a fantasy.